بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The source of all deen information is the Quran Sharif. And the hadith will come and give an illustration and explanation. Without the hadith, you cannot understand the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif will say, perform namaz. But the hadith will explain that there are five namazes that are compulsory. You won't find this in anywhere in the Quran Sharif, that five namazes are compulsory. Nowhere in the Quran Sharif will state that you must start off with raising your hands. Now the hadith will explain this. Nowhere in the Quran Sharif will it say that this is the amount of zakat you need to give. So the hadith will come and explain this. Nowhere in the Quran Sharif will it said that seven rounds around the Kaaba Sharif makes a single tawaf. The hadith will come and explain it. So without the hadith, the Pak, you can't understand the Quran Sharif. And the hadith will be explained by the fuqaha. So they have managed to find the essence and the very spirit of the hadith. So without them, you can't understand the application of the hadith. One person comes and he asks, how is it to kiss my wife in the month of Ramadan? Not allowed. Next person comes, permission granted. So now the fuqaha had to sit around both these ahadith and try and work out the application. So after all the hadith together and they're trying to work it out, they saw that permission was granted to the person that was old. Like in our language we would say that the person was 90 years of age. That's all he can do. What else can he do? He's at age, goes there and stops for us. And permission was turned down on the person that was young, perhaps 19 years of age. So this person is still experimenting. What will happen? It'll be an accident. So permission wasn't granted. Now this work was done by the fuqaha. They want to examine the hadith. They want to understand, they want to see what was the context and how must it be applied. So not just the hadith, the context and the application. So without the fuqaha, you can't understand the hadith. And without the hadith, you can't understand the word of Allah Ta'ala. So that's the sequence that we follow. Then you had a fourth group. I showed you three groups, right? The hadith, then the fuqaha, then you get the third group, and then you call them the Sufiya, right? The Sufis. So what was the Sufis' work? The Sufis' work was to create some life in the work that you're doing. Right? You're doing something, and that's the structure, right? But the structure needs to be enlivened. So they will give the life to the structure. Otherwise, in the words of the Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, it's like kajasadin bila ruhin. If it's a structure, but it doesn't have the aspect of tasawuf and Sufism, then that would be a lifeless structure. So now you need to support it. So now, this support is so great that many of the people that were blessed were because of this aspect. They were blessed what? Because of this spirit. Call it the essence, call it the soul, call it the life. Because of this, they were blessed. Answers, du'as were answered because of this. Proximity was reached because of this. But that was the essence. So now, how do you make out the essence? And how do you say that this was the reason for the person's forgiveness? This was the reason for the person's dua being answered. So there are several hadith to support this. The hadith that we hear all the time, understand those three people that were locked up in a cave, right? And each person is making dua. And one person is making dua that I had aged parents, right? And I had taken it upon myself that I would serve them first, then I would serve my wife and my children. And those that have goats, they know how difficult it is to manage, right? Wording all this on one direction and one at the 11th hour, that thing wants to take a turn. Now, how difficult it is. You look after this herd here and that one that is straying away. So, isn't it a difficult situation? And it's a small animal, you can't even beat the thing. If you beat the thing, you may break a bone, becomes incapacitated. So, all these things you have to manage up with. So he's got goats, and it took him time to herd the goats. Meanwhile, as he herded the goats, he milked them, parents were fast asleep. But he had resolved that I'll see to my parents, then to my wife and my children. And their eyes didn't open up until Fajr. Parents were fast asleep, came with a delay. They're fast asleep, they only got up. Children are crying here, he's not concerned. He's seen to his parents, then he saw to his wife and children. And then he says, "Well, I've done this for your pleasure." And then that boulder that was blocking the entrance, that thing shifted. Not entirely, but it shifted. But now look at it, the aspect of the soul, the essence, call it passion, call it love, call it soul and essence, right? So what was the motivating factor that led him to have this type of a behavior that I would see first to my parents and then to my wife and my children? His passion was love. It was the purity of the heart. Allah Pak loves that. If we use our reasoning and logic, we could have done this. He could have left some milk in another container for his parents. Meanwhile, he could have fed his wife and children that were kind. But he says, no, parents come first. So the love, the attachment, the respect that he showed, now that was the thing that was the catalyst for the acceptance of his dua. Second person makes a dua, "Well, Allah, I was infatuated with my cousin, you know, but she won't just give me access. But I was infatuated." She said, "All right, she's in constraints, and if you bring up 100 or 200 gold coins, then I will see you right." She's in constraints. He says that I worked the entire year. I slogged. And I brought up the 100 gold coins. Or the one coin they give for mehr. Right? So imagine how hard he must have worked to get the 100 coins. Right? Youngster is getting into a nikah, and that one gold coin is used as a mehr. So how much he must have worked to get that. One is, person has got a flourishing business, or his father is loaded, right? Here he's working himself. And at the end of the year, he brought that amount. Now he goes to her, so she says, "Ittaqillah wa la taksiril khatam. I have given you my word, I will not go against my word. But fi Allah ta'ala, and don't destroy my virginity." Don't do this. He says, when she said, fear Allah Ta'ala, I just got up, left the money, I turned away. It's a small thing. So what was the motivating factor? Because the spirit, the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the presence of Allah Ta'ala in his heart, the respect that he had. Again, I say, impassioned. You could have said, it was today's person, right? But at least return my money. You didn't give me the access, so nothing comes from Mahala, just return it. You could have said that. You could have applied his reasoning and said, no, you know, I work for it. I can't just let it go. It doesn't go on the tree. But use all these stories. But you see the passion, the love, the respect, the fear he had for Allah Ta'ala. He got up straight and he turned away. Now this is the thing that Allah Ta'ala sees most. And this is the very ruh, the essence of tasawuf. I was examining the ahadith to see what brings about the weight on the scales. So the day of Qiyam is a very tense, very, very tense situation. And Aisha also asked, will you be of any avail to your household on the day of Qiyamah? There's three occasions, nobody will be for anybody. Nobody for nobody. One of the occasions is on the scales. You see to yourself. So what a tense situation will that be? So the weightiest things that I've come across, right? One is kalima la ilaha illallah. One is good habits and values, character. And the other is silence. So these are the things that bring about the value. This is the thing that brings about the weight. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Jibreel al-Islam pays him a visit. And he sees one person at the end is crying away. Sometimes you're crying for the love of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes you're crying for the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Persons come to Medina Munawwara and you see him by the Rose Mubarak and he's crying uncontrollably. Right? But what is it? It's that love. What? That love. And this is what Allah Bak sees. What's the level of that impassionate relationship that you just want to do it? You not aage piche kuch dekhte nahi, samajhte nahi, and you just want to do it. What is it? That impassionate love. So that is what Allah Bak sees. And now we want to measure everything with our logic and reasoning. It doesn't work. We went for 40 days, and you know now, the time is coming up, and the thoughts are going all over the show, right? So, before you can see her now, you know, 1-2 days now, they kept you in Hilal, and you have to just return. So you're phoning the florist, please, that best bouquet that you got, 10,000, just send it, deliver it now, straight away. It was like Asghar than yesterday. But deliver it straight away. So at that time, you use your logic and reasoning. You know that bouquet of flower, I'll send it home. And in about 1 week's time, the thing will all decay, all will perish, fall away. We'll use all that. No, you know, send it now, straight away. Irrespective of the cause. So what was that that made you behave that way? Impassionate love. So that is what Allah Bak sees. As Mawtani Sahib Rahim explains, in the way to get this, see, coming to Ramadan, and everybody wants to win. And may Allah make it such that everybody wins more than all the previous Ramadans. Then he says that, what brings you to this winning point? He says, jab tak ye fana na ho, you are going nowhere. Fana means now that I am nothing, and my thinking is nothing, my reasoning is nothing. As though I've blinded myself, and I've allowed myself to be mesmerized by my senior. As though, right? So I don't see anything, I don't think of anything, I just want to go on that line. So I mesmerize myself. What does he want? How will he like it? Are you learning to go on the path of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he is the instructor. He's taking you on that path. You didn't see the path, but you believe that he knows the path. He will lead you up to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you just blinded yourself and you gave your hands into his hand and you're just going. So he says, until you haven't got yourself to that level, then you're not moving anywhere. So you have to bring yourself to the level of fana to get the progress. So we're coming to this aspect. Jibreel Salaam sees a person sitting in the corner there and he's crying away. So he says, you see, every other action comes under the scale. But this person is crying, and we can see how he's crying, right? It's not just onion tears, it's genuine tears. Onion tears is also something, you know. But it's onions, right? It's not genuine. That tear is genuine. So that tear is so priceless in the sight of Allah Ta'ala that even the scales can't manage it. It's so weighty. They put off the whole Jahannam off. The scales can't manage it. But that must be the true love. You know, your mother or your wife was so happy with you, so happy for some reason, and that ecstasy, they just embrace and start crying. What happens to your hard heart? What happens? Just melts away. The tear, what it does. So, this is the thing that brings about the attraction, the attention of Allah. This aspect of muhabbat, this aspect of being impassionate, right? And that brings about the real weight. So it is there, it's not that you will not get rewarded. What was the difference between us and the Sahaba Kiram? Same. If you look at it, it was this impassionate, that relationship that they had with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then that took them to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What was the relationship? Look at Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, right? In the Battle of Uhud, and he's a good marksman, and he's defending Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the head, obviously. In any situation, namaz, he's the head, he will lead. On the day of Qiyamah, he will start off the whole procession of intercession and shafaat, sifarish, he will start it off. He's the head. So now, Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu, he's a good, excellent marksman. And Rasulullah Basam also likes him. But he says to Rasulullah Basam on that day, Nahri la Nahra. Now the Bishram is the head, so he has to see now what's going on the battlefield. So he's trying to watch over. Ya Rasulullah, just come down. If they strike, let them strike me, not you. The Sahaba Ikram all said, you know, to this day, all goes to Abu Talha. Abu Talha, you know, because he had more than 80 wounds on that day. But now he's not concerned of anything. Like I say, he's mesmerized, as though, you know, in simple words, as though he's mesmerized into the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So love is not just word, but it's some application. What would Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam like now? Well, I am mesmerized with that. So we come back to this hadith for a preparation to Ramadan, right? So, obviously all of us want the best. Nobody wants to be left out. So what can we do to make the Ramadan the best Ramadan? So this morning I've been explaining this to some friends. First we have the month of Rajab, then Shaban, then Ramadan, right? All Mubarak months. As Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu would fast in this month, not like any other month. Right? I would say that this month, the deeds are presented before Allah Ta'ala And when the deeds are presented, then my deeds must be presented by saying fasting. That Allah will have mercy upon me. But then, the hadith says, who is excluded? One of the persons is a mushahin. Heart is not right. The heart is dirty, got some malice. So you not getting any type of acceptance, no access. So every other Muslim is getting the access, you're not getting the access. For your heart is not right. So now, in the light of this hadith, understand, to gain that special attention of Allah Ta'ala, get the outer dimension and the inner dimension right. All of us have an outer dimension and we have an inner dimension, right? So all of us, can anybody say that I don't have one of the two dimensions? We have both dimensions, the outer and the inner. The outer, we need to see at any given time, second, moment, minuscule of a second, that we're not in a place, we're not in a work, we're not in a gadget, we're not in a time or a place which is not endorsed and liked by Allah Ta'ala. Which is not liked by Allah Ta'ala, which is not endorsed by Allah Ta'ala. So at any given time, the outer dimension is such that it's pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. If my eyes, then I'm sure that Allah Pak is pleased with it. My ears, then I'm absolutely certain that Allah Pak is pleased with it. My tongue, then I'm sure that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with it. So I'm not doing anything from the outer dimension that is not consistent with the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala at any time, irrespective. I explained, the amount of the abuse that you're getting on this social media, etc., whatever. But the amount of abuse, whether it's married persons, whether it's unmarried persons, whether it's men, whether it's women, whether it's age, whether it's young, right? So, I got a little bit sick of it, There's so much of abuse. So much of abuse, right? And the abuse can be visual, can be what you're reading up, content. The content can be of two types, or three types. One is you grasp very, very well. And one is you can't grasp it. And one, it adds to your confusion. So the content that can bring about confusion, or you can't grasp, then be man enough to say that I can't grasp this thing here, it's not for me. And you only take that which you are totally, totally in conformity with, compatible, total conformity, there's no hesitation, there's no doubt, it's all. Only take that. Right. Otherwise, then I say, alright, and you make a mistake one time, then understand, you have interrupted the relationship with the most beloved, right? The ultimate love, you've interrupted, right? If Rasulullah Pakistan comes to know that this banda, right, and this ummati of mine, what a disgrace, what an embarrassment. How will he feel? He's a human being as well. How will he feel? And if Allah Pak says, why, well, this dirt here, he's interrupted the relationship with the most beloved. So can you see what a level of interruption, what interruption you have brought? So if you are a man, then for the first mistake, then take that thing and destroy it. Easy way to destroy it is soak it in water. And take it after one day, maybe after 1 hour, see after that. Phir, khatam ho gaya, soak into water. But I ask you, is that not a small price to bargain for the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasulullah Pak's love? Isn't that a small price? But this thing brought about an interruption in the relationship with the person that is most dear. Then is it worthwhile? I ask you, for some reason, the wife got upset with you, right? And she still just turned the face, not talking. She placed the food, not talking. Right? You're asking her something and she gives you one word answers. Are you alright? What are you going to prepare for tomorrow? Something to eat? She gave all type of sarcastic answers, right? Went to the bed, she turned the other side, not looking at you. So for 2 days, if she gave you that cold treatment, she said, please, now make maaf, what must I do for you? Will it happen or not? Why? You cannot endure the severance in that relationship. Whereas you know, she is not forever, right? And she can only do it to a certain point. But that bonding and that attachment is so much that if she does this for 2 days, it's like Qiyamah. You know, do anything for her, right? Buy a new car, whatever. Now for the relationship and the bond of Allah Ta'ala to destroy this thing here, I say, is it a big price? This thing here has destroyed my relationship with you. Is affected, is interrupted my relationship with you. Then it's a curse that I can't keep it. It's affected the relationship with the one that is dearest. I ask you, for all that it's worth, right, which favor did you see in yourself, right, or around you, that didn't come from Allah Ta'ala? Everything is from Allah Ta'ala. And the relationship is being severed, is being disrupted, and you care two words about it. So, are you in love? Ask yourself, are you in love? Or is just you in love, but, you know, you're going by the book, right? It's a book love. It's a formal love, not real love. One time he suffered, has given an incident, right? So, in India, I don't know now, when you're studying, right? So they wash the clothes near the river, right? Or they wash it, not Allah knows, but they wash it in the river, right? So, the washerman, the dhobi, right, they call him a dhobi, and the dhobi is washing. So it's near the river, the boss's child is crawling, is under 1 year, he's crawling, and he's coming right to the river, and in 2 minutes the child is going to drown. He's crawling towards the water, he's going to drown just now. So this person now, he's taken out the list of duties. What I must do, take it to the lake at this time, wash the clothes at that time, press it and bring it, right? Now he's looking at the list of duties. Does he state that the boss's child is drowning, so I must pick him up? No, it doesn't say, put it. In 2 minutes time, like he'd envisaged, the child drowned and died. Upon inquiry, he tells the boss, but I did all my duties, and this was not mentioned in the list, so it was not part of my duty. Will you call it a proper, sincere, lovable attachment? Will you call it? That is just a formal relationship, or just a front. Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullahi is giving an account of a formal relationship. What is muhabbat and what is just formal, just by the book. Says, he took the rickshaw, he's traveling now from here, say for example, to Dakota, right? Say 3 kilometers. Now, the rickshaw driver, you can see the traffic officer from 500 meters. He's swearing, mother, father, everything, all the swear words he had in his dictionary, is giving to him. But as he comes in line with the traffic officer, sir, how are you? It's an honor to see you. And take this from me. He's showing so much of respect, like he wants to his father also. So anyway, pass the traffic officer. Stop asking just now. You were 100, 200 meters away and swearing for nothing, right? And now you came in line, so much of respect and mohabbat and you're offering things and all that. So, what is this inconsistent pattern? He says, no, I gave another 10 swear words and he said, you know, if I don't see him right, I can't be doing business on this ground. I have to see him right to continue my business. So is that real love? It's not love. So this true love, pure love of Allah Ta'ala, pure love of the Rasul's person is different. That can only come if there is a level of fana'iyat. Not level, fana, complete fana. I say that fana, simple words, as though you mesmerized. You're not seeing, and you're reasoning now. What the man wants, how will he be pleased? And I ask you, in a marital, then aren't you mesmerized? Aren't you mesmerized? Especially now if she's served you, or you're coming after 10 days or something. Aren't you mesmerized? You know, what have happened now? Hey, leave all that now, forget all that. And will you entertain any phone call at that time? Any phone call, any friendship, wants to talk to you, chat to you outside the masjid, clean your minutes, sit down. Or he's calling you for a bribe. So, you know, come, give me 2 days after the procedure. You're so mesmerized. So that being mesmerized by Allah Ta'ala, by the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, comes when you go on this line. Okay. So there is a track and there is a drive, right? The track is the sunnah, that's the track. The way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the sunnah, right? That is the track that will lead you, right? You go off the track, then you can't make one inch of a progress off the track. You go on the sunnah, you're making progress. Come what may, whoever it may be. But it's the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's the only way that's been endorsed. But now that train doesn't only require a track, it requires a driver as well. Say, oh, I got the track now, let's move. Can you move without the driver? The driver can be a kafir if you just surrender. You are flying, you need the plane, right? Don't you need the plane? But you need a kafir driver or a pilot to pilot you. And you're going to just subdue yourself for that duration. You see, you sit down here, you sit down. One auntie next to you, what are you going to do? They're playing music, what are you going to do? So you subdue yourself so much, that irrespective of what's going on, you know, my traveling, my destination, is just, I better just be quiet, humble, and just take it for the duration of the journey. Then I'll reach. Don't you say that? So this is called that farah. She's going to take you, but then you need to have that level. And you don't have that level, then you're not making progress on this path. Right? Like, imagine now, you're in a madrasa, right? And it is an examination period. Right? You're supposed to be preparing. And you're sitting in the masjid, reading Durus Sharif. If the ustad sees you, what he'll do? Right? Wake up now, it's examination time. No, but there's so much of sawab. Will you listen to the person at that time? So, you have to give in to something, though it may be mustahab. But for a greater objective, you have to give in to something. As the Shaykh Ramadha says, I was about 10, 11 years of age, and I just completed my hifz. And I used to see my uncle, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, after Maghrib, and he's sending the awabin for 1 hour or something. So I also became anxious. Hey, my uncle is doing it all. I became anxious. So the first day I did that, or the second day, my father saw that, gave one slap, go make mutala, go make study. So wasn't there mustahab at that time, read Quran Sharif. But now the father knows, his experience understands. You leave out something for the person that is now above you. So you will allow yourself to be mesmerized by his direction, by his instruction. And if you don't then, and if you got an attitude, I'll defy. Now I know it, it's mustahab, so how can you stop me? You got a defiant attitude then. Then you may have appeased yourself, but no progress. Why, you didn't learn the lesson of fana. That's just fana yourself, finish. Kushni. How much my mind tells me, who tells me, whatever. But I have that confidence that he knows Allah Ta'ala, he knows the Sunnah, he knows Rasulullah more than I know. And he knows that I must just make fun of myself, just blind myself, and let me just carry on. I will see the end with time. See this aspect coming out in the hadith. After all, that person that committed 100 murders, right? And he was told, go to the Qariyatul Salihin, right? Right? And then en route, Malakul Maut comes to him. But he's still exerting himself, dragging himself. The Malaika feels sorry for him and forgive him. Doesn't it happen? But what was it? That exertion, that bonding, that impassionate. And that impassionate, that's where we are, what we are lacking this day. This day we don't have that impassionate love for deen, or for the branches of deen, we don't have it. When we don't have it, then at every point, either we got a hurdle, we're going to defy, we can't understand it, and we feel what we're doing. So we're either in a defiance, or in a mental turmoil. And that mental turmoil is bringing about the delay. So you're doing everything else, but the mind is not clear. It's a mental turmoil. When there's a mental turmoil, what happens? So, the conformity both outwardly and mentally. Outwardly, the outer dimension and the inner dimension. In the battle of Uhud, then there was a mistake in the outer dimension, right? In Hunain, there was a mistake in the inner dimension. But both are so important, so great. Imagine in both Rasulullah is around, Sahaba-i-Kiram are around, but here there's a mistake on the outer dimension, here there's a mistake in the inner dimension, and what happens to the help of Allah Ta'ala? So at any given time, the outer dimension and the inner dimension. And then, وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. You know, I was looking at the sifat of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. So when the Quran speaks about it, the first time, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. Then I'm looking at the tafsir. They listen to Allah Ta'ala. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ اُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانْ. Then فَلْيَسْتَجِي. Listen to me. So یہ سننے کا مادہ ختم ہو گیا, ماننے کا مادہ ختم ہو گیا. And the whole ruh and the essence of the tasawuf, man, right? Suno, mano, or suno or mano. When I used to look at the 70s, I used to see Nizamuddin, and I used to see it locally. And it's the first encounter. So you start seeing the Jamaat in the 60s, then you saw the results in the 70s, till about 2000, you saw the results. But the people that you saw in the 60s, that had the sunne ka madda, sunne ka jazba, right? Is not them using their own intellect and their reasoning. We got a senior, lekin sunne ka madda. In those that I saw, that had sunne ka madda from the beginning, right? Then you saw them now, 20 years, 30 years, and then suddenly they start flourishing. But the common factor that they had, sunne ka madda. Right? It's my elder, I must just listen. It's trying to reason or not. But it's my elder. He understands deen more than I understand. Right? And to go on this flight is a blessing. Let me reach. You know, my wife that asked me for this, then would have complied or not? You know? Would have complied. Then no, you know, bibi ka haq, watch. Come straight away, bibi ka haq. So that comes at the first level. So this mesmerizing is called fana. You just fana yourself. Totally, whatever you're going to say, I'm going to do it. The Shaykh had two murids, and he says to the one murid, you mustn't be at one place for more than 2 days. And the other murid, he tells him, you will just stick in one place. And they didn't apply their reasonings. They went with what the Shaykh said. So this person that the Shaykh asked, you don't be at one place for more than 2 days, then Allah Ta'ala accepted him for that type of khidmat. Establishing something here, moving on, doing something there, going here, giving a bayan here, and going there, and moving on there. So Allah Ta'ala accepted him. Here, person asked him, the Shaykh asked him, don't move from this place, just stay here. So it happened now, sometime it's a person that's want to learn Qaida Baghdadi Alif Ba is available. Then there are whole groups of people want to learn Bukhari Sharif, etc. is available. There's a serious problem in the community and is reconciling. So Allah Ta'ala chose him for that. Allah Ta'ala chose him for this. This Allah Ta'ala chose him. So now, the way they mesmerize themselves, What are my elder ones? I believe he's telling you something, but what does the elder want? On Friday, so before the Jummah, the boys come there, right? So one asked me now, how is it for us to give bayans? We now, either in the last year, or whatever, but how is it for us to go out giving bayans? I said, see, if you look at Imam Ghazali's work, more Tami Sabran's works, then they don't encourage this thing. Right. So then he asked why they don't encourage it. Right. That session is different, so you need to give the reasons why they don't encourage it. Right. He says, now, when your Islah is not done, you can see there's some kachapana, something that's left, not made yet. Then your whole approach is different. Now you prepared the talk very, very well, came and delivered it. There's a good crowd, 500 people. But as you left the masjid, nobody complimented, nothing, not a single word. No compliments, no jazakallah, we benefited, nothing. Right? Then what's your response? In logo ko ulama ki koi qadar hi nahi. No qadar diwa. So you are waiting for the compliments, either phone message, or they enjoyed, and you know it's a thing that I need to speak about, right? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it happens that you are in the fashion of giving talks, right? Habit of giving talks, right? And then in that now people are appreciating. And they are seeing you right materially, either food or something or the other, they're giving something, right? Now, your niyat all gets upside down, right? Okay, now, if I don't want to go, not listen to this, you know, I'm getting so much of benefit from this person that's selling cars, you know. But, you know, I must be appreciative when I give the talk. But what's in the back of the mind, if I'm not going to do it, all this is going to come to a standstill. For others, go for it. Carry on. But I ask you now, when there's a mix up in the intention, is the talk going to have that effect? Is there a mix up in the intention? Is the talk going to have. In fact, that mixed mind will be the thing that will impact on the crowd. They say, no, dunya is very important. Dunya is very, very important. That's how they'll mix it up. Because your mind is mixed up. When your mind is mixed up, you're giving. The words are different, so you got the outer dimension right, but the inner dimension is not right. So is your talk going to have that effect? So it says, we discourage for this reason. Number three is this, that now, in the crowd, sometime it happens that I got a vendetta against one person, right? I got a vendetta. So somehow I'm going to try and pick on that person. I need to now pick on the person. Why? Because I've got a grudge now. When I've got a grudge now, I need to pick on him. Now he gets to know that this person is picking on me. I ask you, is there not a barrier between you and him? Yeah, see, this person is picking on me. 1982 somewhere, but Mufti Sahab Rahmatullah was going towards Eastern Cape, right? So I had the blessings of joining him. Right? So in that area now, not mentioning the town. The person is some doctor, he doesn't come here. He's a very regular namazi, but he only comes here as the khutbah commences. He says, he gives the reason. Alright, the doctor missed himself, right? According to some zina or something. But here, she'll wait for the doctor to come in, and then he says, you know, there are people amongst us, they are a wajibur rajam, supposed to be killed, married, and they're doing this thing here. So, he's listening to it. So he knows the people, quite a few people know about this thing here. And they'll know that this message, who is it being directed towards? So will it have the talk, will it have the effect? The talk is not going to have that effect. So no, I spoke out the truth, spoke out the haq. But what was within the heart? The heart, was it right? Or there was a vendetta and I had to take it out. There was a mimbar abuse. So, when the mimbar, I'm abusing someone. So So have I used it for the right reasons? So he says a lot of things that go into the work, otherwise just give a simple talk. Sani Sabram, on Alim, complained that, you know, people, they like my recitation and the compliment and all that, right? Well, what must I do? He says, see, you know, you're giving a recitation, just give it a plain recitation. Don't give it a too much of a tuning. Because you're going to give it a tuning, and people have praised you already, so you'll be anticipating those compliments again. Like, today I read, hey, today was Sastri. And tomorrow was Sudesh, hey, man, he stops, man. And the other day was Huzaifi. We're looking for Huzaifi after namaz, you know. Where's he gone to? So see how his mind will be. So just give a plain recitation. No fluctuations in the recitation. So that will save you from that type of response, you see. Because your mind will be flying everywhere. You should know, but the hadith says that مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. You will try to use the hadith to support you. Therefore, Ibn Mas'ud used to say, in that day that he was, he says, in this day, people will try their best to apply the hadith, right? To apply the hadith, suppressing their nafs. They'll suppress their nafs to apply the hadith, right? And he says, thereafter there will come a time where the nafs will be in control. When the nafs will be in control, you will suppress the hadith to conform the nafs. So somehow you're going to bring about an explanation, somehow just to see that, you know, you are right. But who's controlling now? The nafs is controlling. Now, what Ibn Mas'ud is saying, by how important it is to get the nafs right. You know, another verse, الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُمَّ Look at the tafsir. That, who's going to be the worst of the greatest failure? You know, one is a failure, but the greatest failure. وَالْأُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا The greatest failure, right? Like someone was studying and he failed by 1-2%, alright? But one is now, you've got 0%. So the Quran is talking about the person who's got 0%. أَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَعًا All their efforts have been lost, but they were thinking they were doing right. What? Can you see this? So now who is this person? They lost everything, all the efforts are gone, waste, but within their minds they're feeling that now we're doing right. So they identified about 3-4 people. One is a Christian, right? So he's doing a lot of things, but on the day of Qiyamah, zero, right? One is a Bidati, right? According to Bidat. Now he's thinking that I'm doing very well. Dalla Sa'yum, but all his efforts have been wasted. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَّا But he feels I'm doing very well. The same with the person whose heart is not right. Why? Look at the first three people who will be thrown into Jahannam. I say, what was the missing thing? Heart. The inner dimension was not present. And because of the lack of the inner dimension, they are the persons to be thrown into Jahannam first. We hear that these. But the importance to fix this inner dimension. See, how to explain these things here. We've got a motor car, right? Look at the car, and look at this body. Both are vehicles, right? The body is a vehicle, the car is a vehicle, isn't it? Right. But there are some things in the car that you can sort out yourself. Perhaps a puncture or something, small little thing. You can sort out yourself. But something more than that, then you would take it to someone to service it, would it? It would be a minor service, it will be a major surface. Won't you do that? Right. You will service it so that it can serve you. And you'll pay Dhamma. You'll take it. He'll disclose the faults. So, you will service the car so that it can serve you. And you'll pay the amount. Same with your physical well-being. What you do? If there's a small problem with a headache or cold, etc., you take one tablet or something, Joshanda, fix you up. After the second, third day, you're fixed up, right? So that is at a level, entry level. But if some complication, my left shoulder is very heavy now. I walk a little bit, I get very, very exhausted. No? You go to a GP, you don't play around with this thing, go to a cardiologist. Right? Then don't you take those steps. But to fix up what? To fix up the outer dimension, the vehicle. Because you know, you have to serve it, you have to service it, so that the body can serve you. Don't you do that? You need to service the body, so that the body can serve you. And you don't mind coughing out that money, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. But you want to do it, hey, I want to play it safe. I want to play it safe. So you cough out that money. Even if you say 100,000, somehow you get someone to help you, support you, etc. Get the money and get the service plan done. Won't you get it done? So now, for the outer dimension, how much? For the car, how much you doing? You don't say, no, I can fix it up myself. Do you have that attitude? No, I can sort out myself. I know about cars and all that. I got some books and all that. I can read the thing. And now I can sort out myself. Would you take a try? So no, I must take you to someone who knows it very well. What is it? Kachara. Compared to your deen, what is kachara? But you will see the need to take it to someone, let him expose the faults, or you expose the faults, and let him sort the car out. You know what it means to you. Right? Yourself, the same thing, where you can sort yourself, alright, but it's a major thing that you take it to someone. Take your body to someone, go and sort it out. Pay the money, expose yourself. Sometimes ask you to open your satar. You open your satar just to enjoy the health, right? And take out your trousers, give you an injection. Will you ever show resistance? Because you know what that health means to you. You prepare to open that path and you don't show anybody. But you are prepared to open that path just to get the servicing right so that the body can serve you. Don't you do that? Now, so for the car you prepare to do it, and you're going to do it for the body. So I ask you now, why in spiritual matters, why should we act? No, I know it. I know the kitab, I know what to do. I have no problems. Do you have that attitude? You're going to be traveling to Ladysmith, right? They say in Ladysmith and in Queenstown, there's a nukte ki baat. Kya nukte ki baat hai? See, even the kafir had some shame on the day, right? So, they will say Harry Smith. But the lady, they'll cover, they'll say Lady Smith, isn't it? Then looking at Queenstown, then you say King William's Town, right? King William. Or the woman, Queenstown. So they also had that shame to conceal a woman. The kafir, because the Islamic ethos was prevalent. When it's prevalent, they also respected. They also had some shame. But when we hum kamzor par gaye, so fir, is there any respect left? Not for your woman, not for their woman. So you lost it. You want to play, you want to jump there on the pedal court. So they're seeing, they're watching what you're doing. You're going to be running and parading in the bazaar, in the malls and all that. So they're watching what you're doing. And they're making it like that so that you can come and bring your wife. They know this impulsive buying. Look at the States now, right? So they call it shoplifting, right? And the victims are all sometimes celebrities and sometimes is multi-millionaires, women that are multi-millionaires. And then they say it's a disease, but they can't resist. They know they got 12 pairs of shoes there. They saw the one, they want to pick it up. hide it somewhere, right? But an impulsive behavior. Now they know they're going to get themselves involved. You know, why must they go through that? Please bring about the embarrassment and shame. Right? So when you respected the code of the Sharia, then the world respected you. And you respected it when there was an elder above you. And when there was no elder, no, there's no one, so is there any respect? I say a classroom now, and it's unsupervised. There's no head of the class. What will happen to the children? So your nafs also comes into order when there's someone supervising, someone above. But there's no one giving direction. Then is there any order? Look at the classroom. No ustad, nobody there. So is there any order? Can you control that? Can the class progress? Even there may be one person that is interested, but he also gets eaten up, consumed. Doesn't it happen? So your nafs isku sahi karo, bhai. Aada aduvika and nafs. Your worst enemy is your nafs. And until and unless we don't learn to subdue this thing here, get that fana, allow yourself to be mesmerized. Although things don't seem to be right, right? Don't seem to be perfect, right? But you can see now it's going on the right track. Right? Leave your reasoning. Just subdue yourself. After some time, then you say, alright. So I say, run up to Ramadan, right? And get these two things right. Get the outer dimension and explain the outer dimension, get it right. So at any given time, no such a thing that will attract the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Not even single word. Right? I so told you, the phone is the killer. And if you disrupted your relationship with the most beloved, then can you endure this thing? Even for a moment. You can't say it was just a moment. I just captured the moment. I'll say that. Because you know that one moment could be a poison, a toxin, right? And then to flush it out, is it easy after that? Sometimes it can be disaster. It can be fatal, can't it? Just one moment. That may be the last moment. So one is the outer dimension. One is the inner dimension. So like you get the outer dimension at a level that you show that Allah will not be displeased. Everything. Your eyes, your ears, your tongue, your hands, right, your heart, your time. So all pleasures, all favors of Allah Ta'ala. Not in a level that will bring about the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, the displeasure of His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm checking myself all the time. The one that is driving, right? He has to see all around. Doesn't he have to see? What is this person's move? How must I drive? What's the speed? Is there a traffic trap here somewhere? Whatever. So he has to be alert. For him to be right on the road, he has to be very, very alert. And the moment he sees that I'm not alert, he must just stop down. He can't take a chance. So that's the outer dimension. And then the inner dimension, how are you supposed to be keeping the inner dimension so that you're attracting and you are receiving from Allah Ta'ala at any given second? Because you don't know, I don't know, and you don't know when will be that lucky moment that will strike, right? But you have to keep yourself at a level that Allah Ta'ala feels pity for you and He wants to favor you, right? But then what will bring about the special favor of Allah Ta'ala? What will attract the favor? So the thing that will attract it, that you kept your inner self also as clear as you kept your outer self. But then what will keep the inner self right? So with any person and every person, your heart is clean. Your heart is clean, what does it mean? I can't just say, no, my heart is clean. No. Everybody says that, heart is clean, heart is clean. What is it? If he is doing roaring business, then I mustn't feel, hey man, suppose he overtook us, huh? Think about the chance. Or I'll think about him, he's doing roaring business. Yeah, where he got this money from? Some haram he must be involving himself to be flying so high. He's flying so high, he's involving himself in some haram. So I got those doubts, those reservations. But do I have any proper proof? If I am presented before Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says that you thought that this person was doing some unda dandas, wrong things, right? And you had that in your mind, but do you have any proper proof to support what you're saying? Will you have anything? So that means that your inner dimension is not right. It means proportionately you're going to lose out. Because of the stupidity. Right? Oh, this one I'll expose him one day. And I'm waiting now, the day that he'll be disgraced, you know. The day he'll be exposed, and then, you know, I'll say, no, you see, I had that misgiving of the person. Now see, it came out. I had that misgiving. So you're waiting, you're longing for that person to fall and to be exposed so that you can appease yourself. I had a certain opinion about the person that he was not faithful, he was dishonest, right? Right? So you're waiting, you're anticipating. So I asked you now, is your heart in the right state? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he advised his son Hammad rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, I advise you not to get into discussions. And this I'm giving everyone now. But I don't get into discussion. No discussion, no debate. No dispute. Because the discussion can only go well if the parties concerned mean well. They want to accept the wrong. They want to accept the mistake. See that verse, the first verse, which speaks about the righteous. Istajabu yarabbim. Aqamu salah. Amrum shura bainam. First word, they prepared. Accept my mistake. Take me. When I'm giving you a mistake, and you come to your defense, do I have the heart now to correct you again? No, the heart is, I can't correct this person here, because he doesn't want a correction. He wants things to go his way. So now, can I correct the person? How can I? It's the first, the word that Allah is starting off with, Istajabu li Rabbi. They listen to Allah. Istajabu means they prepare to listen to the mistakes. And this thing is now repeated with the Quran Sharif again and again. Story of Adam alayhi salam, again and again. Alaman hakuma antilkum ash-shajara wa akul lakuma. So there was no cover up story given by Adam alayhi salam, nor his respected family, Hawa alayhi salam. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Straight. You're looking at the personality who's talking to you. Looking at him, and you subdue yourself straight away. He could have given a proper answer in his defense, he could have given. That's why, you know, it's a mistake. And Rufi an ummati al khata wa nisyan. It's a mistake. A mistake a person is not answerable for. He could have given a cover up story in his defense. But now, he's looking at the being that's talking to him. He says, Rabbana salamna. And Allah got in record. Allah loved that statement as a precedent for humanity. Not for the ummah, for humanity to come thereafter, say the words Rabbana salamna. And this is the lesson that America and the West has forgotten. They forgot to apologize. They killed so many people, murdered, right? Or did you ever hear them apologizing for all the atrocities that they've done in Gaza or in Syria? Ever. They did, they helped. The Zalims helped with shiploads and whatever. Everything they did, all, right? And they said also, we have to wipe them out. Completely wipe them out. Atrocities, zulm, everything they did, whatever. But at any point, you see them asking, made a mistake, make us maaf, and we will try and take good care of ourselves. Forget compensating them, right? Even to ask and beg that apology, right? Have they got the heart? So we'll be running them down, but we need to ask ourselves, do we have the heart to ask for maaf, to acknowledge our mistakes? A mistake is pointed out. Do we have the heart to do it? No, but what the world will think of me if I'm going to ask for a maaf? How will people view me? That's our God now. What? How will I be viewed? One understanding that Allah knows. Ya'alamu maafi sudur. He knows what you conceal. He knows it exactly. You can't. So the inner dimension, get it right. And that's why you hear in the Laylatul Barat, one of the persons who's rejected is the person Musha'in, Mushrik, Musha'in, Mudminul Khamr, etc. Right? All these people, the whole Tawbah, whole thing is closed, barred down for them. So in order to get this right, and get the heart right, get the inner dimension right, because the outer, you're working on the outer, mashallah. But do you think that that inner is not right? Like I said, that first three people are dispatched to Jahannam, they don't have that inner dimension right. They're only worried about the outer, that they seem well, they talk well, they present themselves well, with enough. Inner dimension, Allah knows, is enough. So do they go and fix themselves up? Like you have a problem in the inner self, you go to a doctor, GP, go to a specialist, go to a psychologist, whatever, right? Psychiatrist, whoever. You'll go. You're seeing some inconsistency, but you'll go. Take all the trouble to go. Don't you do it? So then, why is the inner dimension made to suffer in this manner? That no attention, no concern, referring to him. I had this mistake here, I committed a wrong here, I did this here. How should I cover myself up? And people that refer, the others that refer, and by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, when they refer, and then you see, in a day's time, sometimes 2 days' time, and it's like a miracle. Just because of the barakat of Amruhum Shura Bainum. That you are referring, consulting your affairs, you are conducting with mutual consultation, not doing it independently. Just the barakat of that. But now that happens when there is that fana'iyat. If there's no fana'iyat, then you can't progress on this path. I can't see how you have. So that's why I say from now, we learn that fana'iyat from now, so that as we come through the month of Ramadan, you're not lost, you're not losing out. See, what we are doing now is all speculating. What? I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. So on your health, you don't speculate. You speculate. Or maybe a minor thing, you may speculate, right? Something. But when it's becoming a little bit serious then, you go on to that path. You know, then you check it out properly, what's happening. Right? What's going on. And you want to check yourself out. Right? So anyway, we are talking about the treasure of hadith, right? And in this treasure of hadith, and I said that there are three levels. First, Quran, then hadith, then fuqaha. And all have to be respected. Because I don't think the world can reach their levels. Quran, nobody can reach, right? Hadith also nobody can reach. And the consensus of the fuqaha, you can't reach. They went so high, at a level that you can't reach them. Was a consensus. And that was perhaps the blessings of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَن تَجْتَمِعَ أُمَّتِي عَلَى الضَّلَالَةِ. My ummah cannot connive on the wrong. Cannot. Maybe one person, second person, third person did a wrong thing. But the entire ummah conniving on the wrong, they won't do it. They won't do it. Right. So that was the blessings of the mubarak words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right. Structures of deen. Now, in the structures of deen, we found one situation where the ulama, jurists, muhaddithin, all say, so for every person to go and study the whole compilation of the hadith, tafsir, Quran Sharif, hadith, all that, right? Everybody can't do it. So, is there a way now, a simplified way, at least I can gain something? So, there are 4 pointers. Imam Hanifa Rahman showed 5. He was about the first person to come to this conclusion. Then, someone thereafter brought it to 4. But Imam Hanifa was the first person to write on the subject that what is the very essence that I can work on. I know 4 pointers, 5 pointers I must work on and I will reach it. So, they gave Imam Hanifa gave 5 points, later on, Imam Abu Dawud or Imam Bukhari Sabal gave 4 points. So what are the 5 points that they brought up? So the first point they brought up was, Imam Hanifa brought up was, niyat. Get your niyat right. Look at your heart, at any point, look at your heart. Because everything is based on the purity and the goodness of the niyat. The purity and the goodness of the niyat fetches the reward. So now you think about just perfecting the outer dimension, which is a requirement, but you have totally neglected the inner. I say, will you be eligible for the rewards? You did something, but you left out something else. Are you going to be eligible? And many a times, the decision is taken on the beauty of the inner self. A person now that dragged himself to the Qariyatul Salihin, what did Allah Pak look at? In a sense, he tried, and the maut overtook him now, but he tried. So his heart was by me, he feared me, and this fearing brought him to this level, right? That again you find Bukhari Sharif, some of the hadiths are repeated 10 times, 12 times. But it's a different dimension, different lesson, right? Man made a wasiyat, called his sons, what type of father you found me to be? Excellent father. Just, you can't find a father like you. But my instruction is, after I die, just burn me to ashes. And on a windy day, just throw all my ashes away, so the wind can take it all. Allah commands, just assemble that, bring him. But what made you do this? So he says, makhafatak, Allah was just your fear. Right, go, I forgive you. But what was it? Inner dimension. The same, I'm talking about that bonding, that muhabbat, that fear, that attachment to Allah Ta'ala. That now, it must overwhelm you. To get it right, it must be overwhelming. Iza zukirallahu wajirat qulubhum. Quran Sharif is recited, their hearts are gripped in fear. So, if they talk about the four or the five things, as though each one of them is a quarter of deen or 20% of deen. Those that say five, then 21 of them. And those that say quarter, then those that said four, then one quarter of deen. So that means quarter of your deen is suspended on the goodness of your heart. How good is your heart? Quarter of your deen. And a quarter is significant, right? Say now, if it were to be announced to you, right? When you get a child, but he'll have no feet. So he got three quarters of the body, one quarter is not there. How is it? How is it? So you have left out quarter of the deen, don't consider it to be insignificant. But work towards correcting it. You still got the chance, and you can work. You can work towards correcting it. I say again, the only way to correct it properly is fana'iyat. The plasticine concept, or the play-doh concept. Just make yourself like that. And you see how easily that is done. You see his hands now, he can do it very easily. Alanna lahu al-hadid. So Allah just made it soft, and he can give it the shape he wants. But now, we act hard now, and now how to give the person the shape? We want to give the person the shape, but he is not ready, not willing. You'll see from his behavior that he's not willing. He's not willing. How do you shape the person? How do you shape the person? So that intention is though is quarter of your faith, quarter of your deen, quarter of the goodness. Right? The second hadith that is used to show the whole essence of deen, right, that these people have come up with. أَيُحِبَّ لِأَخِي مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِ. Like for your brother what you like for yourself. Now, if that person has got that right, I ask you, will his dealings be right or not right? Dealings will be definitely right. His feelings for his brother, how will it be? Be definitely right. أَيُحِبَّ لِأَخِي مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِ. But provide now he's got right till the very recess of the hadith. But he took it on the surface, no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. And that person is wrong, finished. See, are you going into the recess, you look at it differently. I slipped up here, perhaps 5%, 10%, I overstepped the mark, I shouldn't have done this. Right? Now when you're inspecting your faults, you must find some fault. And if you feel I'm doing right, then you can't find the fault. You can find fault in everybody else but yourself. But you're looking within yourself, then at some point you're going to see some mistake. Mama Hanifa adds another one to this. أَيُّحِبَّ الْيَخِي. The other one he uses, مَنْ سَلِيمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِي وَيَدِي. That at any given time, you're not hurting anybody. So I tell the person, please, get up in the morning, make dua for Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah Ta'ala, bless me that I can be an asset. أَفْضَلُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. In every aspect, how can I be an asset? To my brother, to my neighbor, to my friend. So, Shaykh Sadi Rahmatullah, his kitab, they say many people became awliya just studying his kitabs. So he says, one person saw a person in fights, disputes. So he says, Shaneedam ke mardane raya khuda, right? Allah wala people, how they carry on? Allah wala people, they don't even hurt the person's emotions. What? Shaneedam ke mardane rahe khuda. They don't even hurt the person's emotion. They don't hurt. Shuma cheshwad hasil e maqam. How can you get this maqam? How can you become Allah wala? Because with your own friends, immediately you are fighting. You want to make a thing work, you make it work, right? Won't you? If the traffic police, right, is billing you 5,000, then said, so, alright, do what you want. We'll have that attitude. Your boss, you know, please, man, make a plan. Kind of offer you some coke, you know. Something you do just to avoid, right? What do you do then? When you want to make a plan, you can make a plan. If you want to do it, that is, you're impassionate about it. Not impassionate then, go with the flow. You just, you know, the formality, then you didn't get to the depths of it.